brokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Carol Matriciana, and, of course, and she produces DVDs. She's a film producer, does a wonderful job, and, of course, we're going to be talking about one of her latest DVDs. Carol, are we going to talk about the one that deals with Islam Rising? What would you like to talk about?
Yes, Dr. Stan. Good afternoon. I'd like to do the Islam Rising, a call to One World Ummah, which got nominated with a Best Documentary, 2009 Best Documentary, a couple of weeks ago.
All right, well, congratulations. So,
thank you. I'm thrilled.
We saw this. We really enjoyed it. You did a great job with this. So why don't you pick up the story?
Well, I think one of the reasons, I mean, people ask me questions as to why, you know, why did you make this film? It's a four-part series, Dr. Stan. It's about 40 minutes, approximately, is each program. And we're hearing so much about the news, the Islam. We've, of course, got Obama, who's very sympathetic towards Islam and very pro-Arab in many issues. But people say, why, you know, why this at this time? Well, I think at this time there's so much confusion, mainly after the Twin Tower, the awful 9/11 incident, Muslim apologetics experts were quick in there to say that really this is a religion of peace, and what these 19 students did in flying into the Twin Towers has got nothing to do with the religion of Islam, and they did a huge PR move after that tragedy, that Islam was a religion of peace. And so people started getting very confused. And in this four-part series, we've discussed in each of the 40-minute segments, one on Dawah, that sort of their program of evangelizing or missionizing, if you will, and it's their duty to conquer. This is one of the things that a Muslim must do. And so that's one of the sections. Another section is called, is their ideology. What exactly is Sharia law? What is jihad? What are the five pillars? What do they believe? Is their God the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which so many times our politicians are trying to tell us it's the same God? Another one of the 40-minute programs is on their history, the Sword of Terrorism, explaining that when it first got founded by their founder in 610, Muhammad, who is the prophet who got a message apparently from the angel Gabriel to be the last messenger, the last prophet of God. Ever since then, from 700 AD, it has been a religion of wars and battles and conquest and perpetrating massacres that have been beyond what we could even imagine. So a lot of people don't know about the history of Islam.
And they don't really realize, of course, really, that one of the basic tenets of Islam is simply to unite the whole world under Islamic rule, but not simply by preaching a gospel of peace, but by violent acts. This is a violent religion. Jihad is a very important part, and the idea of conquest and military conquest is entirely different to the Christian concept. Certainly Christianity has been misused in the past, but this is not a tenet of militarism, is not a tenet of Christianity, but it is a tenet of the Muslim faith. And hang on, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Carol Matriciana, a personal friend of ours, who produces wonderful films, and we carry a number of her DVDs and videos here on all sorts of subjects. But her latest DVD, Islam Rising, recently was nominated for a reward for Documentary of the Year, and certainly an excellent DVD divided into four parts, each one about 40 minutes, on various parts of the Muslim faith. And whether the Christians want to or not, they have to understand the Muslim faith. And when the President of the United States, George W. Bush, says, why, we all worship the same God. I mean, oh, you know, Christian, Muslim, well, that's not true. I mean, maybe he worships the God of the Muslim faith, but of course we don't, because that is not the God of the Bible. This is all an occult moon God. But Carol has done a wonderful job of bringing things into focus, and so I'm going to let you pick up the story there, Carol.
Well, I think, Dr. Stan, just picking up on what you said there about you know, their claim that it's the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Actually, the early life of Muhammad, who was born in 570 A.D., he was born in Mecca, which is a city in Saudi Arabia. And he was a member of a particular clan. And, of course, we've got to put into perspective that these were Bedouin tribes. And he was a member of the Hashim clan of the powerful Quraysh tribe. Now, the Quraysh tribe actually worshipped a different god than all the others, but there were hundreds of pagan idols worshipped by all these various different tribes from Arabia. There was an estimated 360 gods and goddesses around the Arabs, and Mecca, where Muhammad was born, was a major center of idolatry in this religion. And so Muhammad wanted all of them to worship his god of the Quraysh tribe, who was the Allah, the moon god. That's why you get the moon on the top of all the crescent moon on top of mosques all over the world. Muhammad was his grandfather actually was the guardian of the Kaaba, which was the most sacred building in Mecca. And after his grandfather died, at the age of 18, Muhammad was brought up by his uncle. And then he decided that this particular god of the Quraysh tribe was the most important, because actually it came about from a revelation.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, certainly, Carol was just telling us about Muhammad and his beliefs, and he had a revelation supposedly from the angel Gabriel that really explained to him the workings of the Muslim faith, and that he was to be the last philosopher. And here, of course, he was born in about 570, somewhere in there, and so he eventually becomes a warrior leader. And basically the Muslim faith, once established, was a warrior, certainly a faith, and actually was involved in pillaging caravans and slaughtering large numbers of people. And the original Muslim faith was actually spread by the sword, not by love, not by preaching, not by evangelizing, but you either convert to their faith or we will take off your head. That's the way things were done. You pick up the story, Carol.
Exactly. I mean, when we have politicians and people saying, and of course the Muslims saying here in America, that it's a religion of peace, it's a lie, because Islam, the word in Arabic, means submission to God, subjugation. So the Muslim has to completely submit to Islam, the religion of submission to this Allah, this God, because that's what it means in Arabic, submission, surrender, subjugation. So a Muslim is one who submits, you know, and if you don't submit, then you have your head cut off, you're killed, as you mentioned, all these things. Otherwise, those who resist, if they're not mutilated or executed, which is what their Quran decrees, that the punishment for those who wage war against Allah have to be mutilated. But if you don't, then they say, well, you can live beside us, you can live with us, but Christians and Jews may be spared, in other words, but they have to pay a penalty tax called jizya. And this is, those who fight, who will not believe in God, then they pay this tax. So you have Christians and Jews in Arab nations today that if they want to live there, they have a huge penalty tax if they do not submit to Islam. So you know, this idea that it's a religion of peace is absolutely, it's a lie. And one of the things that we bring out in Islam Rising is that there are many jihads. It's not only the more violent one that we see, and the one that the DVD I made called The New Barbarians, Training Children to Kill, where these little children are taught to become human genocide bombs. But it's not only about that jihad, but there's the jihad of lying. Jihad is so important. That Muhammad declared it the second most important deed in Islam. And there's the jihad of, as I say, the deception of words, the jihad of deception, the jihad of the sword, the jihad of taxation, the jihad of slavery, the jihad of Sharia law, which is, as you mentioned, that the whole world has to come under the tyranny of this law that decides that women have to dress in a particular way, that men can beat their women, that there are such things as honor killing, that children can be slaves. In fact, you know, that's another jihad, the jihad of polygamy, where a man can marry a girl, choose a bride who's only 1 year old, Dr. Stan. Now, of course, he's married to her at one, but he can't consummate the marriage until she's nine, because that's when Muhammad consummated his marriage to Aisha, when she was just a nine-year-old girl still hanging on to her little dolly in his tent, you know. So we have this jihad of polygamy, and then there's the jihad of the spirit. So we explain all these various different jihads and the ideology of Sharia in our film Islam Rising, A Call to One World Ummah.
And I think it's so vitally important to realize, of course, that Europe is falling to the Muslim faiths. In years past, they invaded Europe and they were able to take large parts of it well up into France, and certainly they've returned back at the gates of Vienna. But now, of course, they're taking over Europe simply by moving in and having large families, when, of course, the Europeans aren't having large families. And the Muslims, you know, especially as they have more and more wives, will have mammoth families. And the Muslim faith is gradually replacing the Christians there in Europe. And certainly this is even happening in the United States, as we were encouraging Muslims to come to this country and have their large families and subsidizing them with welfare. Why would we do that? Because I believe there are people who hate a Christian America and are doing everything they can to destroy it today. They have Muslim terrorist training camps here in the United States. The government knows about it and has done nothing at all to stop them. And it doesn't make sense, but then so much of what's going on doesn't make sense. Go right ahead.
No. Well, one of the programs in our four-part series, Islam Rising, is about the mosque, its many faces, the importance of the mosque. And what happens, you know, many Americans, Westerners, those of us in Europe, think that, well, this is just another religion, and in a sense the Quran is just the Muslim's Bible, or the mosque is like the Christian church, but it isn't. In the mosque is the very center of understanding, meeting your Muslim friends, learning the politics of Sharia law, learning how to dress, how to eat, all the various aspects. And I mean, it's the complete, the mosque is, it's the Islamic center, you know. It plays a very important role in the life of American Muslims. And here we have this place of refuge, rest, where a Muslim can experience the Islamic community and learn about Islam. But in Dearborn, Michigan, Dr. Stad, I mean, here in the center of America is one of the few places in the U.S. where one can actually hear the call to prayer publicly over a loudspeaker. The call to prayer, which Obama in his autobiography said the sweetest sound was the call to prayer. Now that in Islam means when the imam calls five times a day from the minaret in the mosque. And this is played out in the Islamic Center of America, which is in Dearborn. It's a Shia mosque, and there it is. It's the largest mosque in the U.S., and its call to prayer is louder than church bells. Nothing may be louder than that. So, you know, I grew up in India and traveled in the Middle East and Far East, and the sound of those mosques calling to prayer, the loudness of them is incredible. It's amazing that in Dearborn, Michigan, that this is allowed to be louder than church bells in a, supposedly a Christian nation. But anyway, there you have it. Dearborn, Michigan now is has the largest single concentration of Arab Muslims in North America. There are about 32,000 Arab Muslims, mainly from Lebanon and Yemen and Iraq, living in East Dearborn. So when they have a third of the population, you know, when it's built up, then they can take over, so to speak. And in Dearborn, Michigan, there are their signs and billboards written in Arabic, because they feel that when there is a certain percentage, when they've got married, when they've had children, when they've had their four wives, and by the way, they can have more than four wives at a particular time, because they can also have these one-night, what we would call one-night stands, but they call them marriages, where they can just say we're married, and then you can say you're divorced, and then that's finished. That's the way that the marriage works. And one of the girls, one of the ladies that we have in our film, Islam Rising, A Call to One World Umar, is W.L. Carty. And Carty was Miss Alabama, and she got married to a Muslim who she didn't actually know was a Muslim at first. He said that he was an Italian, and he was from the Mediterranean countries, and she just believed him. And then when he ultimately when it came to marriage, and she got married in the mosque in Atlanta, Georgia. Yes, she was Miss Georgia. That's right, she was Miss Georgia. And she got married in this mosque in Atlanta, Georgia. And she said she lost her name. They gave her another name, and he said, oh, it's no big thing. It's just the name of my mother. She was surrounded by, just women in this situation. She just said she felt completely overwhelmed, but she'd married him, she loved him, and soon, because she had been Miss Atlanta, Georgia, she was their American Muslim, she converted to Islam, and she was on their radio shows and TV shows promoting Islam to the Americans. She had American women to her home, and she was one of their recruiters. And it's a wonderful interview that she gives. And then there's another person, a former Muslim, Noni Darwish, who's an author, and she speaks of various her concerns over the way that the Muslims come into this country and marry naive people and don't realize that, they're marrying into what we would consider to be an unfaithful marriage. But she says that in the Muslim faith, a Muslim man can marry a child as young as a year old and have sexual intimacy with the child, but consummating the marriage by the time that the child is nine. and then the dowry is given to the family in exchange for this woman who basically becomes his slave. So many women here, that American women that marry these Muslim men, they're not even able, if the woman is abused, and of course it's not considered abuse if the man beats her, because the Quran says that the husband is permitted to beat his wife. It says how long the stick can be, where he can beat her, etc. And she isn't able to obtain a divorce. In fact, here in New York, a few months ago, there was a Muslim woman that wanted to divorce her husband and did, according to the American law. But he cut off her head because he considered that an honor killing. And according to Sharia law, he is permitted to you may kill a family member if you feel that they're degrading the honor of the family.
You know, the amazing thing is they're bringing Sharia law into England. I mean, they're actually setting the Sharia courts that will supersede English courts. I mean, what sort of madness is that? Will it happen here? We'll be back in just a moment. Go right ahead, Carol.
Well, we were talking about our Islam Rising movie, the latest film, a four-part series, A Call to One World Ummah. And Ummah means religious domination. This is, in Islam, there is a perpetual jihad that is commanded until the entire world comes under Sharia. And Sharia is a law in Islam that basically, it's a very complex entire system of life. It's not just a religious law. It's a forceful political constitution. It's an engulfing legal system. It's an economic system. It's, of course, military. We see its militant aspects. It's a dietary. What you're told what you're to eat, how to eat it. It's a social system. Including the religious system. But we've got a former terrorist, a former Muslim, who was a terrorist, Wali Shabbat, who's interviewed in this film, and he explains that that Sharia law is all about, you know, how you do your toiletries, how you have intimacy in your marriage, what you're permitted to do and what you're not permitted to do. And W.L. Carty explained that she had to learn how to dress in the Sharia way and what to eat according to Sharia law. It's very complex. It's extremely legalistic. We had some wonderful experts on this film, Dr. Ron Carlson and Dr. Bill Wagner, who's written a book on the world being taken over by Islam. And he lived out in Arab nations for about three decades and is an amazing expert on these issues. And it really explains. I mean, I think the wonderful thing about this film is that we were able to get so many experts. Dr. Peter Hammond, who has lived out under Muslim law and lives under it in South Africa. And they just explain what the Quran's teachings are, what holy jihad is all about, what the abuse of women and children is, you know, who are infidels. Infidels are any of us who will not submit to Islam. And this is all explained, that the incredible hostility, the hatred towards Jews and Christians that do not believe that Muhammad is the last of the prophets, and that indeed he isn't a prophet according to the scriptures of the Jews or Christians. So they really take issue with these things. And Noni Darwish is an author of an amazing book about cruel and unusual punishment, and discusses the total barbaric requirements. Her dad was killed as a martyr. She was raised in Egypt as a Muslim, and she was born in Cairo, and she spent her childhood in Egypt. So these aren't people just talking secondhand. They're actually you know, there's first-hand experience. She was 8 years old when her father died leading covert attacks on Israel. He was a high-ranking Egyptian military officer. So when he died, he was considered a martyr, a shahid.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Greg Carroll's really describing her DVD. We've actually seen it. It's great, you know. We just spent a whole evening watching it, very informative. And of course, many of the people she has interviewed are people we've interviewed as well, people who have lived, Muslims who've converted to Christianity, people who really understand the faith from what it really is all about. And it is not a peaceful faith. I feel very sorry for the people who are trapped in this false religion, religion of worship, say, a god of violence and hatred and punishment. Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. If you have a question for Carol, and certainly we know that many people who've had the courage to speak out and tell the truth about the Muslim faith have been actually killed. There have been several instances over in Europe where people have either been killed or forced to go into hiding because they dare to be even critical of the faith. Have you had any pressure put on you because of your video?
No, I do thank God very much for that. I think the most hostility has come on certain radio shows where some Muslims have called in and, of course, wish to differ with the opinion, but especially on the issue of it being a hostile religion where they insist that it's a religion of peace. But then, you know, if you explain to them and say, well, that Muhammad, in the Quran, it's written that you must kill the infidels, that you must take the sword and mutilate and all these things. And he said, well, one of the people said, well, you know, you've done that in Christianity. I mean, look at the Crusaders and look at all the Christians that killed. But the point is that it's not in the Bible. Jesus did not, the very, very last miracle that Jesus performed was when Peter pulled out his sword and cut off the ear of the Roman soldier's servant. And Jesus picked up his ear and healed his ear and reprimanded Peter in saying, it's not by the sword. So our very basic teachings that Jesus gave, the fulfillment of the Old Testament, is not about violence. So, you know, once they realize that it's written in the Quran, this is what the Quran teaches, and the children that we, you know, if we look at the movie, The New Barbarians, training children to kill, and the three former terrorists that I had in this Islam Rising movie, Kamal Saleem and Waleed Shabbat and Zach Anaya, they say that by the time that they were seven, they you know, taught how to kill. And Zach says by the time that he was seven, he was a killing machine. I mean, at 19 years old, he just he realizes that that's where he was. And Kamal said that his mother was an instrumental part, and he speaks about it in our movie Islam Rising, that the family wanted this little two-year-old child to become a warrior for Allah. And then by the time he was seven, he was put into a camp to learn how to kill. And Yasser Arafat touched his head and his arm, and his mother was enthralled. The family were proud because these children are taught that the first drop of a martyr's blood saves 70 members of the family. Well, that's a huge incentive for these Muslims who don't have the assurance of going to heaven and they want paradise. So, you know, terrorism is absolutely built into their system. And I think one of the most shocking aspects is that here it is coming to America, settling into our communities. Not so long ago, a couple of weeks ago, at the end of July, there was a meeting of nearly 300 people packed into the Hilton Hotel in Chicago for its Khalifa conference on the fall of capitalism and the rise of Islam. And there they were to listen to a political terrorist organization, the Hizbatar, you know, discussing, speaking, blaming, if you will, that capitalism was why World War One and World War Two and the mortgage meltdown today and the current violence in Iraq and Afghanistan and world poverty, etc., all to do with capitalism. And they cloud the issue that it's also part of their religion that demands that the world be brought under Sharia law, and that they, you know, murder and pillage and damage and kill.
However, you hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a minute. We have several people on the line now. We've got John calling from Ohio and Michael from Fort Worth, Texas. And we'll be back in just a moment with Carol Matriciano. We're talking about her DVD, award-winning DVD called Islam Rising. You'll really want to see it. It's a great DVD. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let's go to John, who's calling from Ohio. John, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yeah, a question and a comment. Is this the person who had this in various newspapers across the country, this DVD, Earth, Islam Rising?
This is the DVD called Islam Rising, right?
Yeah, there was, I'm not sure whether it was the same one, but it was put in newspapers across the country as a supplement.
I don't think so. I don't. Did you put a supplement in newspapers across America?
No, Dr. Stan. I don't believe this was the one, John. This is Islam Rising,
okay.
A Call to One World Umar. It's a four-part series.
Okay. No, I think the one, whatever you're talking about, John, we don't have that sort of money, neither I nor Carol. I wish she did have that sort of money.
John, okay.
Okay, I've cleared that up.
All right, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I think there's no way we can claim to be against the neocons and the bankers, and at the same time push some of the most virulent inflammatory propaganda that the neocons use and the Zionists use. Dr. Stan, I think you've got your foot in two different camps and some of the most filthy propaganda of the most extreme element of the military-industrial complex and the CIA and the neocons have been using this kind of misrepresentation of a very small element of Islam. In fact, the element that the CIA has nurtured and British intelligence has nurtured against the more moderate and very majority Islam, because they've used it against both secular and moderate Islam in Indonesia and around the world, have used it to get us involved in these wars and demonizing whole countries like Afghanistan, where we're murdering whole wedding parties and villages with these drone bombs. And it's the motor and the propaganda that is killing millions of people in Iraq right now. And I think you cannot at the same time push this kind of Zionist support for a massacre of Palestinians, Iraqis, and Afghanistan.
Wait a minute, John. Wait just a minute. Whoever said anything about justifying the murder of Iraqis and Palestinians? Did Carol say anything at all about that?
Well, absolutely.
Did she say that? John, I'm going to cut you off. Because, of course, Carol did not say anything about that. I agree that there is, certainly the CIA has created a lot of the Muslim things, but you must understand this is the religion there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we just had a caller from John from Ohio, who actually believes, of course, that we are pushing CIA propaganda by speaking out against the Muslim faith. The difficulty is that the history of the Muslim faith has always been one of militarism. Yes, certainly the CIA has funded the radical Islamic movement. The CIA has encouraged the growth of radical Islam. but it is inherent within the religion. If it weren't, why it wouldn't have been so easy to have gotten people into this? But then to accuse Carol of recommending the slaughter of Palestinians and of Iraqis, why, of course, that is really going way overboard. Carol said nothing at all about that. Carol, what would your response have been to John?
I think John's confusing some things. I mean, I think he's bought into a whole bunch of propaganda, and really we have to go back to this religion of Muhammad's and way before any Jewish Zionist stuff. I mean, let's go back to 712, where Muslim raiders under Muhammad Hassan began the invasion of India. Now, I was born and raised in India, fifth generation in India, and the Muslims, when they came in to take over, to conquer India, they demolished temples and palaces and massacred to a huge massacre perpetrated by Muslims in India against the Hindus. That was nothing to do with Jews and Christians. The people that live in India were Hindus. And they took over the number of people that were massacred in India. Not that I want to diminish the terrible number of 7 million Jews in the Holocaust during the Second World War, but this was 70 million, that's 70 million Hindus that were massacred in India. It's an unparalleled in history massacre.
When was that, Carol?
Sorry?
When did that take place?
712.
712, okay.
712
and I think that certainly we need to understand the Muslim faith. We need to understand the Muslims are taking over in Europe today. It is not that they aren't being encouraged by our intelligence agencies. In many instances, they're actually being financed by our intelligence agencies. We have to understand that they could not accomplish this if there weren't the latent principles of violence within the religion. Well, let's go, of course, to our next guest. Is Michael calling from Fort Worth. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Michael, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes. I was having trouble hearing your previous callers. I don't know. I guess when you put us on the phone, its volume cuts down or something. But what I've listened to a lot of this Quran and Bible comparison argument and discussion and so forth. But the problem that it to me is when you see the morality, public morality and personal morality in the Muslim countries, I don't think we can hold a candle to it, or any place in the West can.
Well, I think
the whole of the West.
You mean execution, mutilation, rape, murdering women because
those things are happening here.
Wait a minute, Michael. First of all, America was a moral country until, of course, the forces of darkness took God in prayer and suddenly any mention of God out of our schools and began training our young people in evolution and the fact that there is no God. So we certainly, as a nation, have gone downhill. But
yes,
you honestly...
Michael,
let me finish, and then we'll let you have your words, and then we'll let Carol respond. But do you really believe in the Muslim faith that allows a man to have four wives, to kill his wife or to behead her if in the way of an honor killing? Do you honestly believe that it's perfectly all right to marry a six-year-old girl as Muhammad did and then consummate the marriage at nine because that is part of the Muslim faith? Do you certainly, they have very, very strict rules in the Muslim faith. But you carry out the Muslim faith because of fear. And if you don't, why you'll be publicly flawed? They'll chop off your hands. They'll chop off your feet. Is that the sort of religion that you really want?
All of those things happen here also.
Michael, how many...
open up your newspaper.
Michael, how many people do you know who've had their hands or feet cut off by the government because they violated Sharia law?
Well, you know, you can pick out, but my dilemma is the moral trouble for me is that the standard morality and the family integrity. I've known a few Muslim families. None of them had more than one wife, and they gave their everything they had for their wife and their family, but they had integrity in the family, and of course, integrity in our families went out the door when we divided the families by male and female.
Well, let's. When we divided the family, male and female, you mean when we.
By feminism came and divided the families.
Then you probably would be much happier living in a Muslim country today, I would think, because you'd have the opportunity to have the sort of morality. But, Carol, let's get your thoughts, and then, of course, we're going to have to go to George, who's calling from Indiana. But, Carol, I'd like your response to Michael, who points out that certainly there is a very strict morality in the Muslim faith, and I admire that. I wish we had strict morality in America today, but of course we can thank the people who control our government and the entertainment media and the television for just systematically and intentionally destroying our morality. How would you respond to Michael, who really feels that things are so much better in the Muslim countries than they are here?
Dr. Stan, don't put words in my mouth, please.
Then you're not talking about the Muslim faith, because that's what Carol's talking about.
You're talking about, theoretically, Muslim faith and a few incidents.
But in general, they
go on, their families are united, they work together and help each other.
You're talking about...
Look at what they've done with us bombing them... into smithereens.
You know, in Sydney, Riyadh, in Saudi Arabia, every Saturday you can go and see the beheadings, the cutting off the arms and feet. But thank you so much. I'm glad that you, and certainly I would hope
don't
that you...
Don't put words in my mouth, Dr. Stan. I'm talking about hypocrisy.
Well, I don't believe it's hypocrisy. I believe in the Christian faith.
Well, why don't we see the Bible lived on the streets of America?
I'll tell you why. Because somebody set out to corrupt America.
Don't we see the people who are these great Christian idealists standing up and demanding... the country lived by the Bible, like the Muslims do.
I see. Well, we do 5 hours of television, 5 hours of talk radio a day, trying to rekindle that flame of belief in the moral
fandom. I enjoy every minute.
Thanks very much. Let's let Carol respond, then I'm going to let you go. But, Carol, how would you respond to Michael?
No hypocrisy, please.
Carol, how would you respond to Michael?
Well, I think the hypocrisy, Michael, is that the Quran, the teaching of the Quran, clearly says that Muslims are forbidden to befriend Jews or Christians. In fact, Surah 5 says, O ye who believe, take not the Jews and the Christians for your friends and protectors. They are but friends and protectors to each other, and he amongst you that turns to them for friendship is one of them. So you're not allowed to do that. So here we've got a religion that tells you that whoever, here's another surah from the hadith, whoever changes his Islamic religion, kill him. So they're not being hypocritical to those teachings in the Quran that says that they must hate Jews, they must hate Christians, they must kill those that go away from Islam. But we are in a country where the Bible, in fact, the very last healing that Jesus did, as I said, but healing the ear of somebody who's Peter cut off the sword of the Roman soldier, and Jesus picked up the ear and healed it and said, not by the sword.
But the very last thing President Bush and the last thing President Obama did today is bomb some poor family into smithereens.
But Michael, the thing that is not Christianity, George Bush is a hypocrite. I think the thing that you have to understand is an awful lot of Muslims.
I'm not talking about Muslim hypocrisy. I'm talking about Christian hypocrisy.
I said that they were hypocrites.
Obama doesn't claim to be a Christian. He's considered to be a Muslim.
In fact,
Christian country elected him, my dear.
Well, I will tell you that simply you had a choice between being shot and being hung. Which would you prefer? I would simply point out, Michael, that a lot of good people, Muslims, have come to America because they don't want to live in a Muslim country. If Muslim country was so great, why aren't they living there? Because they want to live here in a Christian country. Thank you so much. And let's go to David, pardon me, to George, who's in Indiana. George, you have a quick question or comment? Or is this David in Ohio?
This is David here.
Okay, go ahead, David.
Yes, sir. Hey, I was wondering how in the world... the Muslims can possibly come to terms with the Quran when it states that Jesus told no lie.
That Jesus did what?
He told no lie. You know, he told no lies.
Well, they look upon Jesus as a prophet, but they do not look upon him as the Son of God. They do not look upon
him as the Quran certainly affirms. I mean, it does affirm certain things about Jesus. It said that he was born of a virgin, that he performed miracles of healing for the blind lepers, etc., etc. They gave him many great titles in the Quran, including servant of God, prophet and apostle of God, word of God, spirit from God, one of the righteous. He's called the Messiah 11 times in the Quran, but he is not. The Quran very, very clearly says that he is not God in the flesh, and he did not die on the cross. So, you know, they definitely don't see the atoning death of Jesus, and they declare three times that on Judgment Day, none can bear the sins of another. So that aspect of Jesus as God, the one that came to forgive sins, they absolutely don't believe that.
I think what we have to do is try to get the Muslims to read the Bible, but then maybe we ought to get a lot of Christians to read the Bible.
I think a lot of Christians read the Bible, they wanted to follow it.
And that's the thing.
That,
I mean, certainly
we've
had a couple of people call in who can tell you everything wrong with America, and I agree with everything they said. But certainly, I believe that Christianity is the true religion. I believe, of course, that if we were living as Christ told us to live, we would not have the problems we have today, and certainly we would not be bombing and killing people over the Middle East. There is no justification for those wars, because, of course, in fact, Sybil Edmonds recently came out. She worked for the FBI, and she heads a whistleblower organization. She just said, the United States financed Osama bin Laden right up until September 11th, but we can't let the American people know that, and you're not going to see that on ABC, CBS, or NBC. Well, let's go to George, who's calling from Indiana. George, you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I have a comment, really. The Muslim Jesus is known as Isa, and Isa is the destroyer of Christianity. And it is the pledge that was given long ago that all the world would eventually become Muslim. And, it's a ridiculous religion. If you sit down and try and read the Quran or lay it next to the Bible, there's no poetic justice in that book at all. For Muhammad to have the spirit come upon him, he bellowed like a camel, fell down on the floor, frothed at the mouth, and had bad headaches. He wouldn't even go into a dark room without somebody going ahead of him with a candle, and his mother even said that she thought he was possessed.
Well, I think he feared he was possessed as well. And
was.
I believe you're right. Anything, Carol, do you have a comment on George calling from India?
Yes, George, thank you very much for that information, and that was really good. But I think that, you know, very often Muslims, unfortunately, associate Christianity completely with Western culture. And I think this is the difficulty, because they see, to them, the Christian signifies materialism, a lack of spirituality, moral failure, all these sort of things. But for Muslims, where they don't believe in alcohol consumption or pornography or a liberal lifestyle,
Hamas, I suppose one would think these things were moral, but...
Really, I mean, there are so many people in this country that can totally differentiate that our culture, just because our culture is into pornography and failure in so many aspects, that's not necessarily a biblical
Christianity. They believe they can marry children, right. 8 and 9 year old children. Hamas just married a bunch of them a day or two ago.
Right.
8 and 9 year old children.
Well, we are living in a fallen world. The difficulty is what we need, of course, is to adhere to the Christian principles. And certainly there are lots of things wrong about America. There are lots of things wrong about American policy. But
there's
I still love America.
There's a lot of things wrong about human beings.
That's right.
We've got a religion that is wants to bring the whole world under its power and tyranny.
Right, and of course there are people in this country who want to bring the whole world under our power, but they are not Christians. They are people who worship a different God. And of course, if you don't look at the spiritual forces at work in our society, none of this makes sense. Certainly I believe that the Muslim faith is a satanic religion, and you can certainly go into the writings of Muhammad and you will find many references to the demonic experiences that he had.
So, can I say one more thing?
One more thing and then we'll let you go.
All right. If you read into the Quran, Allah is quoted as saying that he is the greatest deceiver. In our Bible, we know who the greatest deceiver is.
I know. Point well made. Thanks so much,
George. Good. Thank you very much for really good information.
And let's go to David, who's calling us from Vermont. Hi, David. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I wanted to ask, what's the connection between the Muslims and 9/11, aside from being dupes and patsies?
Probably very. Do you want to comment on that, Carol?
No, not really, Dr. Stone.
All right, I will tell you. I believe that they were dupes and patsies. Okay, then I believe that this whole thing was engineered. I can certainly prove it simply by pointing out the fact that 1,100 bodies have never been discovered. Now, if we had a pancaking of the Twin Towers, the bodies would have been smashed, but they wouldn't have been vaporized. A coming down, a pancaking of that building, as has been described, would certainly not have vaporized the body. So it took me a long time to come to the conclusion that we have been blaming the wrong people for what happened that day, and all we need to do is see, I hate to see it, but that movie that was put out by the fellow who actually showed George Bush sitting for 5 minutes in the school reading about a goat after he'd been told America was under attack. Why would he do that? He was scared to death. He knew it was coming. It had come. And now he was going to have to take over a country that was going to war. And he knew it was all fraudulent. He'd given orders to justify going to war with Iraq and Afghanistan. And he had plausible denial. He probably didn't know when it was going to happen, but it happened. And he was frightened to death. So I hope that answers your question, David.
Thank you.
God bless. And, of course, our guest had been Carol Matriciana. Her DVD is Islam Rising. You want to see it. You want to understand the Muslim faith. And our job is to try to reach the Muslims and bring them to know the love of our Lord. Well, let's go to Jim, who's calling from Michigan. Jim, do you have a question for Carol?
Dr. Stan.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, sir. I guess the question is that we are supposed to be a Christian nation. And most of
we were a Christian nation. We're no longer a Christian
nation. What I'm talking about is the people who elected George Bush, who attacked the Muslim country, well, not the Muslim country, but attacked Iraq and killed like over a million people were Christians.
Well,
so
let me
tell
you.
What do you understand about, like, you talking about the Muslims? Excuse me, the Christians elected this piece of baloney, George Bush, and he attacked the Muslim country of Iraq, who was actually really good, and he killed millions of people.
Wait a minute.
Only killed a few people, or like the millions of people we killed.
Wait a minute now. I certainly do not excuse what George Bush did. He fooled an awful lot of Christians. I personally heard him give his testimony. I sat 6 feet from George Bush. He looked me in the eye and lied. Well, there were about 20 Christian leaders there.
George Bush, you actually talked to him?
I actually talked to him, and he snookered 18 of the people. There was only two people there who actually saw through him. One was John Stormer. The other was myself. He was a very convincing liar. He was a deceiver, but you have to understand, he is deeply involved in the occult, and he's a member of a secret Luciferian society called Skull and Bones. So do not blame the Christians for being deceived.
There,
what?
It makes me, I don't even want to talk to you anymore. Just the fact that you went there means that, I'm sorry, forked tongue, my friend. Thank you. Bye.
Well, thank you very much. No, basically, a group of Christian leaders were asked to interview the potential Republican candidates for the presidency in 1999. Jim has repudiated me for being part of a group that...
I think it's very important that you were there, Dr. Stan, because as a journalist myself, I mean, there are a lot of places that I'm invited to speak and interview and film. One doesn't necessarily go along with what one's... I mean, you know, when you, as a journalist, you're asked to come and film or interview a murderer or a you know, whatever it is. I mean, it's not that one believes you're not there by association. You're doing a job, and what you've done with that information is warned people like Jim and told. And this is the first time I've ever heard that, and I'm very grateful that somebody that I trust in and believe in, yourself, saw that firsthand and can now bring to, you know, things that I've often thought about but just never known anybody that... So anyway.
We're out of time, Carol. But you see what a contentious issue this is. It's amazing how many Americans hate America. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and really it's so tragic as we hear so many Americans hating America. I disagree with certainly the policies of the Bush administration, the Obama administration, every certain one of our administrations going all the way back to Jimmy Carter has been controlled by the Trilateral Commission. Every president and or vice president of the United States, that's and or, not necessarily both, although in several instances both, has been a member of David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission, and of course their logo is an upside-down broken cross, and of course you look closely, you might even imagine you see three sixes. There are strong demonic and evil forces in the United States, but that doesn't mean I hate Christianity. I feel sorry that I hate Christianity or that I hate America. I'm sorry there's so many Americans who see everything wrong with America and are not trying to remedy the situation to stand around and criticize people who talk about the problems with the Muslim faith. There are very real problems with the Muslim faith. Christianity, if it were practiced, would be a wonderful faith. It's just a shame it isn't practiced today. Well, basically, we have several important books and DVD sets. We have a great DVD set called Islam, the Religion of Doom. Actually, it's a four-tape set. It goes into the demonic roots of the Muslim faith. We have a video going into the Muslim, the jihad movement here in the United States. It's a video that was actively suppressed by the government. It was first released in 1994, shown one time, and then totally banned from America, this country, until after 9/11. It's called Jihad in America. There's a book we have, What Every American Should Know About the Quran. Certainly we recommend Carol's DVD, The Islam Rising, and her other DVD on the New Barbarians. The New Barbarians, both of those DVDs are available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You have to understand that our government has been taken over by truly evil forces and evil organizations. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to hear my talk on the forbidden secret and my talk on the financial Armageddon that goes into the takeover of the American government by these truly demonic forces. And it gives you a background on Barack Obama, who really brought him to power. And, of course, who controls Barack Obama? Because, remember, he is simply a figurehead. You'll certainly want to get the Financial Armageddon DVD, and we'd love to know what you think of it. Then, of course, we have the three DVD set on the secret mysteries. They're actually, you can get them separately. The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, the Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, and The Eye of the Phoenix, which is the story of the occult emblems on the back of the dollar bill. And I wish these people who really hate America so much would actually get these and understand that America was founded as a noble nation with a noble cause really dedicated to allowing men to be free. And, of course, as James Adams said, you know, our country was made for a moral and religious people who would not work for any other. Well, of course, our form of government was made for a moral and religious people. It would not work for any other. We are no longer a moral and religious people. So to be critical is one thing. To hate America and really what it stands for is an entirely different situation. Yes, we should certainly speak out against the injustice of what's going on in the Middle East. I am really, really, really disheartened that our ministers are not speaking out against the unnecessary wars or against the fact that we have adopted torture as a means of treating our enemies, and there's going to be a terrible price to pay.